The miraculous message of the manger. 'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the land every creature was stirring as Caesar had planned. A census was taken in which every soul in the Empire of Rome must be placed on the rolls. Up from Galilee, out of Nazareth came a pair which was Joseph and Mary by name. To their city of birth, which is called Bethlehem, they came as descendants of King David's stem. These, the days were accomplished that she should give birth to a son who would reign as king over all the earth. She brought forth her firstborn, and with her own hand she wrapped the sweet child in soft swaddling bands. In a manger so lowly this life did begin, since there was no room for them in the inn. In the country the shepherds abode in the field, keeping watch over their flock as in silence they kneeled. In the shadows of night with rods and their staves, having just settled down in the warmth of the caves. When out of the sky there shone a great light that filled the men's hearts with a terrible fright. They sprang for the ground with a leap and a dash to see what was causing this unearthly flash. 'Twas the glory of God shining down on the ground with a halo of radiance on the sheep all around. When what to the questioning eye should draw near, but the angel of God with a message, do not fear. For behold, I bring you great tidings of joy for all men and women, for each girl and boy. For to you is born a Saviour this day, in the city of David, as the prophets did say. Then suddenly with the bright angel appeared, a heavenly host praising God as they cheered. To God in the highest may glory abound, on earth peace and goodwill to men all around. Near at hand, far beyond, on the left, on the right, the heavenly seraphs were poised in their flight. Then as snowflakes before the fierce storm winds do fly, passing over the wide fields, they soared up to the sky. So up in heaven the angels they flew, having given the message so wondrously new. Then the shepherds declared with faces aglow to the village of Bethlehem, quickly let us go. And see this great thing which has come to pass, which the Lord this night has made known unto us. There they found Joseph and Mary so mild, and in the rough manger the dear little child. So when they had seen him, they made known abroad the message as told by the angel of God. The people then wondered at that which they heard, as told by the shepherds in angelic word. But Mary, who knew all these things from the start, kept pondering this great event in her heart. The shepherds returned, giving glory and praise to the God of their fathers, the Ancient of Days. To God in the highest may glory abound, on earth peace and goodwill to all men all around. In Matthew chapter 1, we read the word of the living God, Matthew chapter 1. Let us start in verse 18. Matthew 1 verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, that which was spoken by the Lord of the prophets, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. The miraculous message of the manger. The Bible is a miraculous book, a supernatural book. It is the greatest book ever written. It is the first book ever to be printed. It has been translated into more languages. Over 2,800 and counting. Printed more times. by conservative estimates, 3 billion Bibles and New Testaments have been printed so far. Read by more people than any other book in the history of the world. The Bible has over 2,000 specific prophecies that have already been fulfilled in history. Jesus Christ himself fulfilled 333 of those prophecies during his ministry on earth. There's never been anything in all of history to compare with the Bible. No other book in history is so hated, so loved, so banned, so printed, so read, so prohibited. No other book in history has been gathered up and burned in those great numbers as the Bible. The Bible has been the most persecuted book in history. One of the prophecies that Jesus fulfilled was the miraculous birth of Christ. Isaiah 7 verse 14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign, and behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel, God with us." Sacred scripture records the supernatural birth of Christ. The Holy Spirit came upon the Virgin Mary and the power of the highest overshadowed her. The angel Lord appeared to Joseph and told her that that was conceived of Mary is of the Holy Spirit. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end." His is a miraculous life. A miraculous book predicted a miraculous birth of the most miraculous person ever to walk on this earth. Jesus Christ healed the sick. He made the crippled to walk. He made the deaf to hear. He made the dumb to speak. He enabled the blind to see. He raised the dead. There's never been anyone in all of history who lived as miraculous a life as Christ, who taught as he taught, who lived such a perfect life, such a selfless, unselfish, giving life, never breaking God's law, and who died such an atoning death, taking our sins upon himself. A miraculous book, a miraculous birth, a miraculous life, and a miraculous resurrection. His life did not end with his death on the cross. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. The tomb of Jesus Christ is empty and can be visited to this day. Jesus Christ lives today. The miraculous book points to his miraculous birth, which was only a prelude to a miraculous life, miraculous teaching, an atoning death, a miraculous resurrection from the dead, and hundreds saw him alive after his death, and they saw him bodily ascend into heaven. And he has promised to return again to judge the living and dead, a miraculous return. Even Islam teaches in the Quran that Jesus will return to this world to judge. Does not even teach that about Muhammad. Even Islam is expecting the return of Christ. When he returns on that day, on that last great day, will he be your savior or will he be your judge? And that's a question everyone needs to ask. Notice that Jesus was not born a prince. He was not born an heir. He was born a king. No one has ever been born a king except Jesus. You can't be born a king. You might be born a prince, but Jesus was born a king. Not just heir to the throne. Wise men came from the east saying, "Where is the one who's been born king? We have come to worship him." And you can imagine the mind, the scheming mind of that wicked King Herod starting to spin at the thoughts of this. King Herod recognized the menace of the manger. He felt his selfish lifestyle, his corrupt political power, his comfortable position was threatened by this newborn babe, him who was born king. Gripped by selfishness and a lust for power and fear, Herod sought to murder the Messiah by masking all still in the manger in Bethlehem. Everyone loves the birth of a child. Well, it's no longer actually true. There's a lot to have hatred for preborn children and would prefer abortion to birth. There are many who hate manger scenes. In fact, every year we get Antichrist lawsuit unions all over the world bringing up legislation to try and prevent and lawsuits to prevent city councils and people in communities setting up manger scenes in public. We used to have very Christian-themed Christmas lights down Adderley Street in Cape Town, but they've gotten very secularized over the years. Used to be all Bible themes. But many now find the manger message menacing. But most people find a newborn baby cute. That's one reason why many people may celebrate Christmas. A babe in a manger doesn't seem very threatening. But the scripture doesn't just say, unto us a child is born. It goes on and says, unto us a son is given. Now this is getting a bit more threatening. This is why King Herod declared war on the womb. He saw menace in the manger. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government of peace, there will be no end. This is far more threatening. This is not the favorite Christmas verse of your average society and church even, because this is now infringing on man's domain, man's sovereignty, man's political power, that there's a higher power. He is above the Supreme Court judge. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is above all the presidents and parliaments of this world. But we no longer worship a babe in a cradle. He's the Son of God who died on the cross. And the day will come when he'll return to this earth wearing the crown of the sovereign Lord of the universe. And we will stand before his throne, more likely bow and fall before it, having to give an account of our lives. And the Bible says, even having to give an account for every idle word ever spoken, and even for our motives. Unless we have turned to God in faith and repentance, unless we have repented of our sins and placed all our trust in Christ, following him, we will be eternally condemned. This is a far more menacing message than just a babe in a manger. We can't only look at the crib. The wood of the crib points us to the wood of the cross. He was born to die. He came to suffer and die for our sins. And he will return again to judge the living and death. The colours of Christmas decoration should point this out to us. In fact, Reformer Martin Luther pointed out, the wood of the tree reminds us of the wood of the crib and the wood of the cross. The red around the tree reminds us that though our sins be as scarlet, yet they shall be as white as wool. And often we've got the white in Christmas decorations, symbolized by the snow. The green shows there should be growth, just like in Psalm 1, that we need to be planted by streams of living water, putting our roots deep into the Word of God, getting to know the Word of God and the God of the Word, and then our leaf will not wither, and we'll have fruit. The decorations on the tree, Martin Luther said, symbolize the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Fruit on a tree is not for the benefit of the tree. Fruit on a tree is for the benefit of those who come past the tree. The gifts around the tree should remind us of the gifts of the Spirit. God has given all of us time and talents and treasure. He has given us gifts and talents and abilities. And these gifts also are for the benefit of others and for the glory of God. And the star on the Christmas tree is to remind us of the miraculous star that guided the wise men from the east to Bethlehem and to the actual manger in a stable in the cave where the Lord was found. Those wise men who came to the east, they were wise. They knew when the Messiah would be born. They discovered where he would be born. And they brought very appropriate gifts. Gold for the King of Kings. Myrrh for the sacrifice that would end the need for any other sacrifices. Frankincense for the high priest above all high priests. They were wise. They understood. Probably from the prophecies of Daniel, because Daniel had lived in Babylon and Persia and ministered there. And his prophecies were doubtless studied. And so when we read about them studying the seasons and the times, and they would have worked it out from the book of Daniel as to when the Messiah would be born. And they followed his star. It could have been a miraculous star, but it could have also been from looking at the times and the seasons in the heavens and through the stars and working out the dates from the prophecies that they came with, whether it was an actual physical star or whether it was studying astrology in general, but the fact is they made it to the place on time, astronomy I should say. And the gifts, they point us to who Jesus is. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. There is menace in the manger. When people put capital G for government, referring to civil government, they're committing idolatry. It is unwise to do so. The only time the Bible gives a capital G for government is when it's referring to the government, which is on the shoulders of Jesus. God is the government. Civil government, municipal government, that's small G. And yet today you have people decapitalizing Savior and capitalizing state. Decapitalizing gospel, but capitalizing government. This is wrong. This is just showing us how societies have moved to statism. Let us remember that the early Christians in the Roman Empire were never persecuted for worshipping Jesus. They were persecuted for refusing to worship Caesar. Jesus is Lord, not Caesar. And as a result of this, Christians were persecuted. If they had done like many Christians today, worship Jesus and the state, they wouldn't have been in any trouble. They were thrown to the lions because they refused to bow the knee before Caesar, refused to say Caesar's Lord, refused to burn incense before Nero, refused to swear before the genius of the emperor, suggesting that the emperor was a deity of some sort. No, the message of the manger is Jesus Christ is Lord, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, eternal judge, coming down to judge the living and the dead. And so this goes way past the average Christmas carol and your average nativity scene and way past the average Christmas message. Joy to the world, and Hark the Herald Angels Sing, many other of the carols remind us exactly who is God of God, Light of Light, True God, Very God of Very God. Many of the hymns, if we would look at the carols more carefully, we'll see that the deity and the lordship of Christ is proclaimed very powerfully. And so no wonder many people prefer to go for Jingle Bells and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, because they don't want to confront much of this. And yet many in our society may even have these great Christmas hymns playing in the stores while people are rushing around after materialistic goals. And if they would just stop and listen and think and focus on the meaning of many of these great Christmas carols and messages, they would recognize that Jesus Christ is Lord, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Our Lord Jesus Christ said to Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, "You would have no authority over me unless it had been given to you from above." All authority is delegated authority. All authority is limited authority. All authority is answerable to God. And so civil governments are God's agents, an agent of wrath, a minister of God to bring punishment on the wrongdoer, to protect those who do right, to punish those who do wrong. Government is meant to be a minister of justice, a deacon of justice under God. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor. He is all-knowing. He embodies absolute wisdom. He is the way, the truth, and life. He hears our prayers and guides his people. He is Mighty God. Ask your average unbelieving Jew or atheist how he understands this. Mighty God? We understand the child is born, the son is given, Wonderful Counselor, but Mighty God? How can they understand this? He is all powerful. He is God himself, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus Christ is the incarnation of God, as the Nicene Creed says, fully God and fully man. Everlasting Father, he is eternal. He is from everlasting to everlasting. As the Father, he is compassionate, he cares, he provides, and he protects. Jesus Christ didn't come to life when he was born in Bethlehem. He has existed from the very beginning. Nothing was created without his hand. He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were created by him, and nothing was created except through him. He is the everlasting Father as well, and he is the Prince of Peace. There is no peace without the Prince of Peace. Those politicians who think that they can achieve peace without Christ are deluded. The United Nations has the audacity to place unattributed a messianic prophecy of Isaiah 2 outside the UN building. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, neither shall they make war anymore. And they think they're the fulfillment of this. That's a messianic prophecy. And this Antichrist United Nations group, which is neither United nor Nations, more like Babylon the Beast, there they are, daring to assume they can bring peace. They couldn't even bring peace to Bosnia. They couldn't bring peace to Somalia. They couldn't bring peace to Rwanda. They couldn't bring peace to the Congo. What makes them think they can bring peace to the world? No, without the Prince of Peace, there will be no peace. Those politicians who think they can achieve peace of Christ are deluded and deceived. They do not have a snowball's chance in hell of achieving that. They'll be ice skating in hell before the UN can bring world peace. Only in Christ will we as individuals, as families, as nations find true and lasting peace with justice. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The ultimate victory and triumph of Christ's kingdom is inevitable. Nothing can overcome it. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms, and it will bring them to an end, but it itself will endure forever. The kingdom of God is like that stone that smashed the statue representing all the kings of the world and grew to a mountain that filled the whole earth. Jesus said that if anyone falls on that stone, he'll be cut to pieces, and if that stone falls on someone, it'll crush him to dust. This is what the Great Commission calls us to. All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto Christ. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey all things that the Lord has commanded. There is no authority which is not under Christ. This is what it means to pray the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Isaiah 11 verse 9 declares, the earth will be as full of the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Philippians 2 verse 10 says, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So this is the message of Christmas. This is the miraculous message of the manger. Not only of the crib, but of the cross. Not only of the cross, but of the crown. You rejoice that a child has been born. But do you recognize that he's Emmanuel, God with us? Do you submit to his government? Do you obey him as Lord of your life? Is he your wonderful counselor? Is he your mighty God? Is he your everlasting Father? Is he the Prince of Peace in your life? If so, rejoice. For his government will never end. His kingdom will never be defeated. His kingdom will endure forever. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for the message of the manger. We thank you for the miraculous message of the manger. We praise you, Lord God, for the miraculous book we have in the Bible, for your miraculous birth, which we celebrate at Christmas, for your miraculous life, the greatest life ever lived, and the greatest teachings ever taught. We praise you for your miraculous resurrection, and we look forward to your miraculous return, when you will conquer all those in rebellion to you, when you will institute your day of judgment, when you will evaluate everything in the light of your word. And we praise you, Lord God, that that which escapes justice on earth will not escape justice in eternity in your sight, because you are the King of Kings and you are the Lord of Lords. Help us, Lord God, to communicate this miraculous message of the manger during this season, for we pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.